In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was descended from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as priest before God during his section's turn of duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn away many of the people. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I know that this will happen? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to you, to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he was unable to speak to them. They realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he returned to his home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me in this time, when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." Now we fast forward a little while. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father, but his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives have this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him." Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his child David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness in his presence all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high, will break upon us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. See, aren't you glad that you didn't have to stand through all of that? Well, my friends, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So earlier this fall, when our lead consultant, Jessica, was here with us, she led our strategic planning team through a storytelling exercise that she called From Through To. She asked each of us to take a few minutes to remember a moment in our lives when we moved from one way of living or believing or behaving through some sort of experience that we had to a new place, to a new way of living and being. And the stories that we shared amongst the team were really meaningful, really authentic and deep. And as I listened, I realized that each of us, each of our lives are brimming with these types of from through to stories that shape and transform us. And then I started to think about Scripture. Advent is full of these from through to stories, from Zechariah and Elizabeth to Mary and Joseph to the shepherds to the Magi. Each one of them moves from one way of being through an encounter with God's promises and God's own story to a new place that is full of joy and hope and expectation and peace. And so here we are, at the beginning of a new church year, stepping into this Advent season once more. It's a season when we once again immerse ourselves into this ancient story where God steps into our human history, into human bodies, into human existence, and experiences all the joys and the sorrows and the laughter and fears that our life entails. In this holy season, how might God be working in our lives right now, moving us from through to? How might God be doing the same in our congregation, in this community of faith that we call home? The story begins with Zechariah, more than a year before Jesus is born. We meet Zechariah in Luke's gospel, a temple priest who's married to Elizabeth, who is a relative of Mary. They live in a world that is charged with political instability and social strain. Jerusalem and the surrounding region, they're under control by a foreign country, by a foreign empire, the Romans. Tensions are high. There are heavy taxes, and the tight control breeds resentment among people. And then there's Herod, the so-called king of the Jews, who is merely a Roman puppet, who is Jewish in title only. And as king, he is cruel and paranoid about holding on to power, going as far as even killing family members to hold on to that power. This is a world that is longing for God to act, for God to intervene. And there are some groups like the Zealots, who are hoping for a violent revolution. Interestingly enough, one of the Zealots becomes a disciple of Jesus, and I think has his own from through to story, but that's a different sermon. Others awaited for a Messiah who would come, who would lead armies in battles against the Romans to drive them out and to bring independence. The people prayed for God to intervene, to deliver them again, to bring peace, for God to be faithful to God's promises. And these are the prayers that Zechariah carries with him as he enters the holy place in the temple to kindle incense. When you burn that incense and the smoke rises, that smoke rising is symbolizing God's people's prayers being lifted up to God. So entering the temple's holy place to burn incense is a rare honor. You see, only two priests are allowed to enter the temple each day. Only two. To burn incense in the morning and to burn incense in the evening. Only two every single day. And if you were one of the priests selected to do that, you only get to do it once in your entire lifetime. In your entire lifetime, you enter the temple once. So Zechariah then enters this holy place, carrying not only the prayers of the people, but I suspect his own prayers. Because Luke mentions that he and Elizabeth have never been able to conceive. They are old now, and the hopes and the dreams of their younger years have now settled into quiet, grief-stricken acceptance. And now, in this once-in-a-lifetime moment of going into the temple, being closer to God's presence than ever before in his life, he goes in with the prayers of the people, but also his own prayers, full of questions. Full of questions and maybe a longing to understand God's reasoning. And then suddenly, Zechariah senses that he is not alone. He is not alone in this holy place. He is startled by the angel Gabriel. Can you imagine being in this holy place alone by yourself? How terrifying it must have been for this angel to suddenly appear to you? This otherworldly experience, this supernatural thing, it would have been overwhelming and terrifying. But Gabriel brings miraculous news that Elizabeth is going to bear a child. And not only this, but a child filled with the Holy Spirit. This child is going to be great. This child is going to prepare God's own people for the Lord's arrival. God is about to act. And Zechariah's response? He's afraid. He's in disbelief. How can this be? Maybe he fears hoping again. What if this is too good to be true? Maybe he wonders if he can handle the magnitude of what God is asking of him. Maybe he worries about the cost and the consequences and the unknowns. There must have been a million questions running through Zechariah's mind. I think we can relate, can't we? If we're honest, we know something about being afraid. And sometimes those fears are not all that different from Zechariah's time. Instability and grief, uncertainty, longing for God to act, carrying a level of disappointment, feeling weary about hoping again, maybe getting our hopes up. Take a moment and ask yourself, What fear are you holding in your life right now? What fear do you bring with you to this place, to this season? What word or phrase summarizes that fear? You see, naming our fears and our anxieties and disappointments is how we might step into this story. It's how we might come into this ancient story side by side with Zechariah and others to experience what God is calling us from and through and toward. Some read Gabriel silencing Zechariah as punishment. But I see grace. I see grace in this. God quiets Zechariah, ushering him into a season of stillness. A stillness of mind and heart long enough to bear witness to what God is about to do. To stop narrating the worst case scenarios and instead notice what often goes unnoticed. He's going to see the horizon of God's good news take shape before his very eyes. Just as John is going to grow inside Elizabeth, so hopeful expectation is going to take root and grow in Zechariah. A steady internal rearranging from fear through God's promises toward hope. Just as God's promises are made to Zechariah, so God's promises are for you too, my friends. God's promises are for you. The angel Gabriel reminds us of the most repeated phrase throughout Scripture. The most repeated phrase. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And so often when we see this in Scripture, it is accompanied by a reminder of God's presence, a reminder of God's deep, intimate closeness and concern for us. God is with you. God loves you. We can trust and not fear because where God is, we are secure and held tightly. And in his life, Jesus is going to embody these very promises. He steps into humanity and becomes one of us. Becomes one of us and with us. And he himself promises us over and over and over again, do not be afraid. I am with you. I will be with you, even unto the end of the age. No empire, no circumstance, no struggle, no sickness, no death can keep Jesus from you. Last year, when I began navigating my cancer diagnosis, these were the words of promise that gave me strength, that stuck with me. It was Jesus reminding me over and over again, do not be afraid. I am with you. Being a person of faith does not mean that life is easier or that there will not be hardships. But being a person of faith does mean that fear can be transformed. It means that we are carried by God through what we cannot carry ourselves. It means God's promises will give us strength and grace for the journey. Do not be afraid. I am with you. So Zechariah moves from a place of fear and disbelief through God's promises and now to a place of hope. And after months of not being able to speak, this hope bursts forth in spectacular fashion. Have you ever had a moment of joyful anticipation and excitement that it just flows and just bursts out of you? I think so. I think all of us have experienced that at some point. That is Zechariah because he sings. He sings, and his song, that's sometimes called the Benedictus, is beautiful. And that's why we sung it earlier. It speaks not of fear, but hope, of being reshaped through God's promises. It speaks of God's tender compassion and mercy and faithfulness, of all the reasons not to be afraid, but instead boldly hopeful in what God is going to do. So my friends, my prayer for you this season is that you might find pauses in this Advent season to ponder. To ponder what God might be moving you from and through and toward this season. That you might listen to the stories of your life through God's lens, through God's stories. That you might sense God's gentleness and love anew. Will you pray with me? God of promise and hope, lead us this season from our fears through your faithful promises to a renewed hope in your coming to us with good news. As you transform Zechariah, transform us this Advent until we sing of your goodness and hope with boldness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.